from Sadus, and you're listening to That Metal Interview Podcast. That Metal!
Metal Interview.
Thrash metal fanatics, you are in for a treat. We have frontman, guitarist, vocalist Darren Travis of the Bay Area thrash band Sadus, and they are back with a brand new album, The Shadow Inside, after a 17-year hiatus. And Darren will talk about the reasons for that hiatus, for them being absent, and he will talk about the band's career and his appreciation for fans, of course. Right now, let's check out one of their newest songs and lyric videos, Ride the Knife. Check it out. killer title, Write the Knife. Graphic, of course. Imagine writing a knife. So pick up the new album. It came out a couple of weeks ago. The album is titled The Shadow Inside. And this is, as I said before, the first album in 17 years. And Darren will talk about what happened there and this and that, right? So, but anyways, they did release a live album, live in Chile, in 2015. So really, it's not a 17-year hiatus. It is if you're counting the original albums, right? So anyways, here is Darren, our chat with frontman guitarist Darren of Sadus. Check it out.
This is James.
Yes, sir. Down in Texas. Where are you at?
I'm in Cali.
How's the weather up there?
It's turning. It was hot yesterday, but now it's turning to, hopefully, to fall. Be winter. I'm tired of this shit. Fucking heat. I don't have to tell you about that.
Right. Yeah, we got some horrible weather down here. Horrible.
I know. John used to live in Texas. We wrote the beginning of the record down there. It was holy fucking guacamole. Fucking hot.
Yeah.
But goddamn, Texas got some good food.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah. Awesome stuff. So you say you wrote the album down here?
We started back in... He lived in a rural of Houston. What was it called? Richmond?
Yeah, Richmond, yeah.
Yeah, a little town called... what was it? Right out of Richmond.
Rosenberg.
Sweet something? I don't know.
Okay.
Right there by Richmond.
Okay, yeah.
That's where he was living when we started. And I go visit him in Texas, and we'd write music and play in his little jam room, and it was fucking hot as shit.
Yeah, tell me about it.
I'd come over there one time. It was beautiful, fucking tech college. I was like, holy shit, this is great. That's fucking. It was. He goes, dude, this is like only 2 months out of the year. I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
He goes, maybe three. This, you get this one little bit of weather, and then
yeah, it goes back to
stuff
the
comes on, and
yeah.
I like, came back the next time. I was like, okay, this is fucked up. What the fuck are we doing here?
Yeah, we're burning in hell. Yeah. Let's speak of The Shadow Inside, coming out the 17th of November. Right? Are you excited?
I am so excited. How about you?
Oh hell yeah! I'm a metal fan, death metal fan, yeah, thrash metal fan, you know? Yeah, hell yeah. The stuff awesome. That I've heard so far is just badass, so can't wait to hear the rest, right?
Yeah. You haven't heard the whole record?
I have not. I do have it, I misplaced it in my emails, so I have to go back and I'll get to it.
Okay.
So which is your favorite track on there?
I don't really have one.
They're all badass.
They're all from a little different place in my soul.
Right.
It's like, that's what the shadow inside is. We all have the darkness. We all have a sickness or a devil inside, or just pure anarchy.
Awesome.
They're all related to the same thing. So we're like, how can we get and describe? Because every song kind of has a little theme to it.
Yeah.
Where it's mostly like my inner feelings of how I felt at the time when I was writing music. Like Scorched and Burnt's really personal.
Yeah.
You know, so the shadow inside kind of encompasses all of those feelings of every different song. No peace. I have no peace inside. I have, you know, I think if I didn't have music, and I was in Texas and I carried a gun, I would be fucking shooting motherfuckers all the time. So right? Instead, I have a guitar.
Right? If it was legal, yeah, hell yeah.
It'd be... I know. I just try not to go that route. So that's why I write music. So we all need a relief from the chaos of life.
I've thought about that. I mean, it's just a weird fictional thing, but what if killing people was legal? I bet you there'd be less haters out there, less trolls out there. I mean, otherwise you get killed, you get shot if you're a troll, right? I mean, right?
All right.
It might work.
Yeah. It might. I don't know.
Good theme for a movie. So,
yeah.
Where do you guys get your The Shadow Inside? Where'd that come from, the title? What you just said right there?
Like, Yeah, exactly. Like what I was saying is like we're trying to encompass a little bit of every song, and there's all kind of a inner theme of something that's inside of us, whether that be good, bad, evil, good. You know, it's like you just you're trying to just live your life, but yet you have these other feelings, and that's the shadow inside.
Wow, very cool, awesome title. So we all
if
know
you look at the cover.
What's that? I'm sorry.
If you look at the cover,
oh yeah,
like this. I told the artist the same thing, and he kind of came up with the same thing. I said, you know, the whole world. You could see space in the guy. You see like that. He's encompassing the shadow inside. He is like there's the person trying to get out, or you know, his inner feelings or whatever. It's kind of encompasses the whole thing.
That's one of my questions on the cover. There's a movie when I was a kid, the Transformers, the movie, back in 86. I know it's nothing to do with the band or anything, but the cover reminds me of this cyber planet that's alive. It's like a huge robot and shit. It's part of that movie, and the cover, the new cover for you guys kind of reminds me of that. It looks like a kind of outer space, kind of badass. Who's the artist here?
Travis Smith. He did our last record also, Out for Blood.
Oh wow, badass.
He's amazing. He does everybody, Lamb of God, all kinds of Megadeth. But he's a tell him what to do, give him an idea, and he just goes. And the guy's amazing.
Did you guys do that? Did you give him a little hint of what you want, or you know what, give me an outer space kind of thing, an evil?
I told him kind of exactly what I told you just now. I just told him like, you know, the meaning of the songs and how. It's kind of personal, and it's the feeling that we have inside, and the inside guy is trying to just relate to all this madness, whether it be anarchy of the fucking world, or how the devil is inside, or the evil that's making you, it's like, hey, do this, motherfucker, and you're like, okay, you know?
Yeah.
And he kind of, you know, with our direction, kind of just came up with a few things, and we directed him, no, go this way, and we worked together, and that's what's good about Travis. He's like, he's really, you know, wants to work with the band and get what they want, and he took his time and did a great job, I think, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. How about the titles? You guys get these crazy ideas from Scorched and Burnt, It's the Sickness, Ride the Knife. Listen to that. I mean, where do you guys get these ideas from? Do you read books? Do you watch movies before writing a song? Or what? Where does this come from?
This comes from my thoughts of how, what I'm feeling. And like Ride the Knife is like living on the edge. You're riding the knife. You can go, you know, either side of the fence. So you're riding the knife. You're living on the edge. So it's kind of like basically all anyone that does things without thinking of consequence, you're riding the knife.
Very cool. Wow. How about the making of it? Where do you get your riffs from? Of course, you're not going to copy directly from anybody or record or anything like that, but do you sit down and listen to a band or where do you get all these crazy riffs from?
For me, I'm like, I'm not a metal guy, unfortunately, or weirdness as that may be, is I don't listen to a whole lot of metal.
Really?
Yeah, I know my John, our drummer, is like, really, dude? Try this band. No, listen to this band. I'm like, I don't get it. I don't understand. I'm just trying to get the aggression out on the guitar. So I grab the guitar and I just feel like, I just grab it and the riff comes out, I guess.
Yeah.
I listen to a lot of old music, mostly. I don't listen to any really metal at all.
Music? You mean like non-rock stuff? I mean like pop or disco, country?
I would say more like rock, old 70s music.
Cool.
I listen to Black Sabbath, you know. That's like my metal, or like Slayer. It's like, you know,
old school.
Our go-to, everybody, you know, you just listen to kind of what you love, but I really don't listen to like Slayer. I listen to like peaceful music. I like really easy going stuff, so I could be calm. And then when I play my guitar, I want to fucking grab that shit and I want to fucking play some metal.
Yeah, one extreme to the other. Yeah, very cool. You got the passion for sure.
Yeah, so then, you know, I don't have like a lot of influences from metal. So
really, so where John's, do you? Okay.
So John's the same way. Where do you come up with this shit?
Right.
As long as you ate, I don't know. Comes out of wherever it comes. I don't know.
Wherever it comes from is badass. So you guys are from the Bay Area, right?
Yes, sir.
What is it with the Bay Area? I mean, what's in the water there? I mean, everybody's from there. Exodus. I don't think I need to repeat all the bands, yeah, right? Metallica, Megadeth, Testament, and so on. You know, Hatred now, and you guys, and everybody. Violence. What's in the water? What are you pointed at? What's going on there?
Not really sure.
Crazy.
For Sadus has always been an outsider of all that stuff. We don't really participate in the Bay Area scene.
Okay.
So we're just like a outsider, I would say.
Yeah.
We live a little bit on the East Bay. We're like outside. But when I was young, I would always go and see Exodus when they first started.
Nice.
Yeah, I would see, and that was a turning point in my life where I was like, I didn't even know what the music was. I didn't know what they were doing, but I knew I wanted to do it.
Gary Holt, yeah.
Gary Holt, Rick, I mean, the guys were just insane. It was before Bonded in Blood. I would go.
Wow.
And we would go and go to the shows and basically just fucking thrash and just be part of the whole thing. But I didn't understand the music. I would come home and I would write my own music from what I was feeling from the show.
Yeah.
And then when I heard Bonded in Blood, I was kind of disappointed. I was like, oh man, I thought it was a little bit more heavy or more brutal than, I don't know what it was. I didn't even have a clue what I was thinking. But I just liked that aggression. I like that feeling of just grabbing an instrument and controlling chaos.
So at what point did you guys write those demos, DTP, Certain Death and all that, about 85, 86?
Yeah, we started in 84, and I think the DTP demo came in 86, and then Certain Death came in 87, along with the Illusions record in 88. We were outsiders basically the whole time in the Bay Area scene. We weren't about the debt, and we were the bang, bang.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense. It doesn't make sense, but the Bay Area scene had that hoppity hop drum beat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we were like anti hoppity hop. No fucking hoppity hop. No happy riffs. So that was Sadus.
Yeah.
It wasn't Testament, and all those guys had the happy hoppity hop.
Yeah.
We just want.
Yeah, the hoppity. Yeah. Tupet. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got you.
So you understand what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah, kind of like a polka beat. Yeah, not, yeah,
yeah. I don't. That's not the music I want. I want the brutal. But anyways.
So at what point
kind of did our own thing?
Yeah. Did you guys hit the club circuit for a while before getting signed, or how long before you guys got signed?
I believe we got signed in 1990, and we were playing all the parties, all the clubs, but it was just us. It wasn't like we were playing with big bands or any of the Bay Area bands. We played with a couple, but most of the time we just played by ourselves and we brought in our own crowd.
Swallowed in Black,
1990, yeah, Swallowed in Black. So when we signed to Roadrunner Records, Swallowed in Black, we self-produced our own record, Illusions, on our own label, and sold, I believe, 8,000 copies back then, just via mail.
Wow.
And it brought the attention of Monty Connor and Roadrunner Records, who signed us for the next record, and then ended up buying Chemical Exposure, Illusions, whatever you want to call it, the first record.
Yeah. Wow.
We were a band that was just got big outside the Bay Area. We were not big in the Bay Area. We're still not. We're like bigger in every place than the Bay Area. It's fucking weird.
Right? I mean, nowadays, wherever I turn on social media, not wherever, but a bunch of places, Sadus pops up, your name pops up, and you guys have a cult following, you know? It's out there. And what do you say about that? I mean, there's a fan base that's waiting for this record out there, whether you see it or not, or I know there was a long wait there, 16 years from the last album, right? What happened right there with that big, long wait?
Well, after the last record, we came home from a 2009 tour of, like, we did some festivals and did a few things, and I believe some of us were pumped up to just keep going, and some of us wanted to just pay our bills, and some of us had to just fix their lives. So we had a lot of inner conflict within ourselves that we needed to resolve. And for myself, I just needed to support my family and have a house and or a place to live. And Sadus doesn't do that. Sadus is not a profitable band, whether you think about it or not, but it's not profitable at all.
Right.
I've never really made any money from the band. It's just for the love of metal. It's just for the love of the music and the aggression that we can get from it. So we all had to just, we all separated and went and got jobs, and I had kids. John had kids. Steve has kids, and we all just wanted to just provide for our families, and music was not providing for our families, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And you gotta go out and get a job and work, and music is hard. It's hard to make music when you can't pay the bills.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's hard to have art or like something that you want to just, you know, paint a picture, or fucking when your kid's crying because she's hungry, or you know what I mean? You're like, okay,
yeah,
gotta feed the family, man. Time goes by so fast. It was like, holy fuck, it's been 16 years, but
just like that, yeah,
here we are.
Some people don't know that.
I wanted to make some music.
People think you guys are rich, and people think just because you play thrash or death metal, you guys are loaded and you're making $500,000 off of merchandise. And that's the truth right there. You just spoke the truth. And for people that don't know, right? So what that means, people should go out there and support you guys, and everybody go to your merch stores, you know, right? Merch booths live, and support you guys and everybody, right? So that way the metal continues, right?
Exactly. And that's how we are too. We want to support metal. We want to bring metal. It's just for the love of metal. Sadus is not, we don't make shit. I don't have any money coming in from this band whatsoever. I actually owe money. So
yeah.
I just do it for to make for the art, really. And
passion, yeah.
And hopefully people can enjoy it, and they get something out of it too.
Yeah. Here's a dumb question, Darren. Is this the best?
There are no dumb questions.
is this the dumbest interview? I'm just kidding. Is this the best album that you guys have written so far? You think this is like the best of the best from all your records?
You know, to tell you the truth, I always try to do my best on every record, and it's just a moment in time where this is my best for right now. This is the best I could do at that moment in time. And I've done that on every record that I've ever done. And I've never tried to change anything that I am. I just want to be myself. And I do the best that I can at the time. And most of the time, it's under pressure, too. So when you're, like, in the studio, you're like, they're like, go. And you're like, holy fuck, this is like a one-taker. You get a one-take, and this is going to live with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And That's what it is, pretty much, man.
Any warm-up rituals before singing, recording, or going on live for your vocals and or guitar? Do you just go up there and do what you got to do, or do you warm up?
I don't warm up at all, no, unfortunately. Maybe have a couple shots or a beer, or maybe smoke, and just get into it, and just, like, hopefully you've practiced enough where you're not going to fuck up.
Right. Exactly. Just cross your fingers and give it your best.
Here,
right?
We go. Let's go.
Give me the count. Drumsticks.
You know, this is only my fourth interview, really, in my whole life.
Nice.
I've done some ones on paper.
Yeah.
Never any phone interviews or Zooms or. I've only done a couple, only two video interviews in my whole life. I have 40 fucking years.
That's cool for me. I'm one of the first. Awesome. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It's all good, man.
So what's your favorite part of touring? Whenever you guys do gigs out there, of course, maybe you might not like being in a van, locked up in a van for 8 hours or whatever, but what is your favorite part of doing gigs and touring?
Yeah, it's always the show. It's always the show and getting the response from the people and seeing their faces and having people enjoy your music. That's what it all is. That's why you do it. That's why you go out. That's why you sit in the airport. That's why you sit in the bus, sit in the van. That's why you sit in the venue all day long. It's just for the show. And once you're done with that, you're like, okay, now what?
Yeah. Just get off
now
the stage.
You do it again.
Disconnect the guitar and let's go.
But you get to hang out with people like you, James, and different people, and they tell you their stories and let you know, like, that this has made something to them, or this has done this for them, or, you know, and you're like, wow, I can't believe that.
Exactly.
I just did an interview and with Vladimir from Brazil, and he was like, I was 9 years old when I heard Swallowed in Black, and it changed my life. And I was like, holy shit. You know, that's fucking cool, man.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned not making money off of this, but when you get off stage or before going off stage, when you talk to a fan like that, a follower, a fanatic, that means the world to that guy, girl, you know? I mean, your music speaks volumes, you know, whether there's some money involved or not, or on expenses or whatever. So you just said it right there. I mean, it's just it's a huge thing for a fan to meet you, you know? I've met a couple of people.
I think it goes both ways. I get it from them. They get it from me. And I'm a fan just like you are.
Yeah.
I love music, you know? We all love music. I'm just like you, James. I want to hear the next thing, too. That's why we make metal. That's why we make music, is to separate ourselves from the world and get that feeling of holy shit, this is cool, you know? And you just sit with your headphones on in your bed or wherever you're at and zone out on the fucking killer tunes.
Yeah, wow.
So that's where I'm at, too. I'm a fan just like you, man. I just want to... And then so I have no problem... I was just talking to the guy, Vladimir, in Brazil, and I said, when we played in Brazil or South America, they told me, Darren, do not go out into the crowd. There are fucking crazy motherfuckers out there, and you will get killed. And I was like, dude, I'm going out there. I got to fucking hang with the freaking bros. I got to go to the bar. We're going to fucking have some drinks. And they're like, holy shit, are you kidding me? So they, you know, try to talk me out of it, but it was like, no, man, this is what we're here for. This is what we do. This is why I'm making music, is to hang out with and of us all feel the same feeling, you know?
Exactly.
Totally.
I'm sure you're familiar with James Murphy, right?
Of course.
The guitar legend from Florida, of course. That guy, I'm not sure if you're aware, him and his wife are big fanatics of Sadus. Were you aware of that?
Yes, I speak to him a lot. Yeah, they're good.
Yeah.
Good people, man.
Yeah, they're big fans of your music, so wow. Very cool. This is a guitar player question. They told me to ask you for a rig rundown of your equipment, of course, studio and live. What do you use, Darren?
Okay, so right now I've changed to, I use a Kemper amp, and it's changed my life, basically. I got a Kemper, and I freaking went into the studio, and I used the Kemper, and now I'm going to go out and tour the world or whatever I'm going to do. I don't know. And I'll bring that Kemper, and it's going to sound just like the record. That's what those things do. It's fucking amazing. I have a Kemper, and with just a lot of presets. I got a Kemper board, fucking wah, and I just got a couple Dean guitars that are phenomenal. I've been using Gibsons with EMGs, and now I have a Dean with a, I want to say they're freaking weird pickups. They're so cool, man. And the guys at Dean are hopefully taking care of me, and it's just a Dean. I used to always just be right through that Marshall 800, and then I got a 900, and with an EQ, with an overdrive for leads, and that's it, man.
It's kind of simple, huh?
Simple.
It's all in.
You just want to be able to plug in and hear yourself, you know?
Right. You don't need all these toys and pedals, and it's all in the person and your feel, right? Yeah.
I don't need any of that shit.
What do I do? Right.
It's fucking play, man.
Your sound will come out through the speaker, whatever you're expressing yourself with your hands
it's
and your
funny.
Mind.
It's funny. Yeah. It really doesn't matter what I play through. It still sounds like me. You're like, really? You guys are like, what the fuck? We went where? Venezuela one time and our equipment didn't come, so we had to rent some shitty amps. It didn't matter what. I didn't fuck play a guitar. I don't care. And it still sounded killer.
I saw an interview with Ted Nugent. I saw it on YouTube, and he said that he was backstage one time with Eddie Van Halen somewhere, some gig somewhere, and they traded guitars backstage, you know, Ted Nugent and Eddie. And Ted said that when he played Eddie's guitar, it did not sound like Eddie Van Halen. He said it sounded like him playing Eddie's guitar.
Yeah.
Right? And then vice versa. He said, Eddie grabbed my guitar, and it did not sound like me. It sounded like Eddie jamming to my guitar. So, right? So it's in the person.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's all about how the player is, man.
Right? But some people don't know that. Some people think a certain guitar is going to get you a certain sound, like Satriani or whatever, and that's not the way it is.
The inevitable search for tone.
Right?
Everybody has it. Just play, man. Just fucking play.
There's some advice right there. Any advice you can give a younger bands up and coming?
Don't quit your day job. No, I just make your own way, man. Don't listen to anybody, what they have to say. Don't let them put you down. You know what you need to do. Just keep playing. It doesn't matter what people say or think. It's all about just playing and having fun, and for the love of metal. There's no money, so you know you're not going to get rich. Don't have dreams of mansions and cars and chicks, because it ain't going to happen.
Wow. You might have burst a bunch of bubbles right there from different kids, and they probably thought you make a band and you get rich and you get a bunch of chicks. But that's the truth right there. So
you might get laid.
Yeah.
But it probably won't be with the good looking one at the end of the bar. It might be the one that's all fucked up already.
Hey,
the old one.
Well, that'll work. It's fine.
Yeah, that's good. You still got your job done.
Only Metallica gets rich. So there you go, kids listening to direct advice from Darren.
Not
you don't get rich right away, but maybe. So what's next on your agenda, Darren? What's coming up for you guys, and what's going on in the world of Sadus?
I'm writing a new record already. This one's old, and I just signed to an agency that's really big, and they're trying to book us shows everywhere. So hopefully we can come see you guys. That would be freaking awesome, man, to come see James in Texas.
Hell yeah. I'll go support you guys. Hell yeah.
Tear it up. That would be fucking... That's where I'm at, man. I'm going to write a new record and let this one come out. Hopefully people can enjoy themselves with this one for a little while. It's not going to be 16 years, I guarantee you that.
Awesome.
And I plan on making the next one even more brutal than this one, because people are saying it's not brutal enough. And I was like, all right, motherfuckers.
Really?
All right, I hear it.
No way, it's badass, all brutal.
All right, cool, James, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Darren, appreciate your time. And people listening, The Shadow Inside, November 17th, pick it up and stream it and all that. So thank you, Darren, appreciate that. I'll see you in Texas soon.
All right, brother. See you motherfuckers in Texas.
California Bay Area Thrasher, Darren Travis of Sadus. There you go. So pick up the new album, guys and girls. The Shadow Inside is now available for you guys to stream, purchase. You guys can order it. Nuclear Blast Records presents Sadus, S-A-D-U-S. These guys have been around since the 80s. And he talks about being there during the first steps of Exodus. Isn't that badass? Wow. So thank you, Darren. Thank you for making time and chatting with your friend James. And thank you guys, all the listeners, for supporting the podcast over the years. And be on the lookout for more and more and more guests, whether it be thrash, death metal, or rock and roll, or hard rock, right? So be on the lookout. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Don't forget to ring the bell, subscribe, follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at That Metal Interview. It's that, it's not the THAT, That Metal Interview. And thank you guys for already following us, and be on the lookout for merchandise. So our website is under construction right now, but it will be up in a few days. So be on the lookout for jrocksmetalzone.com. 24/7 rock metal news, birthdays, album anniversaries, and interviews. So be on the lookout, rock metalheads like myself. So anyways, don't forget to keep it metal.
That Metal Interview.